been a long time since you've done something, and you want to see if you can still do it.
But it turns out that you can,
This is the Wayward Podcast.
This is on mute. Testing. There we go. It's because it was on mute. So there we go.
Yes.
Okay. Exhausting. I'm ready for another sabbatical from the podcast.
We've done it. I knew this would happen, not for you, but this is going to happen to me, but in privacy, because I'm going to take this and try to figure out how to upload it.
Just for our listeners out there who I realize have not been with us for the last half an hour of. We're back.
We're back.
We came back.
We're back in so many ways.
We came back.
You don't even know.
We came back, and I have updated my audio abilities since we were not here in bed, but I couldn't make the fucking blippy blippies work.
The blippy blippies were working. We just couldn't hear them.
We couldn't hear the blippy blippies. It was painful.
So they were deceiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we have everything we ever wanted in life.
My husband fixed it.
Yeah.
My husband fixed it. I called my husband. I shamelessly and FaceTime him with my daughter screaming in the background. It was like,
oh, man.
Make the blippy blippies so we can hear them and other people can hear them. And so hopefully you are hearing this podcast. If you're listening to it in headphones, you're hearing it in both of your ears because that was the problem.
Oh.
We were making it. Yeah. It was only coming out through one ear.
I assume that no matter how we record it, when it gets uploaded, it'll still be heard in both ears.
That is no longer the case because I'm using much fancier hardware. But that also means that it'll be easier to edit and we should sound better. Do we sound better? Do we sound better?
Do we sound like it's day three of a convention for us?
Because that's what it is.
That's what it is. Kim.
Yeah.
We're currently in your hotel room.
We're back in my hotel room.
Which is going to be our new recording studio.
Not my closet.
At each city.
Shoved behind a bed,
sitting on some cushions.
Yeah.
Luckily, my back has healed.
Yeah, thank God.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you unpack your things at a convention?
No. You know what's weird?
Huh.
At a convention, I am a fucking slob.
Yes.
My shit gets thrown everywhere. Yes. There's clothes draped over lampshade. Yep. It looks like I had the most epic party of parties. And yet in my home, I need where people see stuff, I need to be neat. Yet in my closet, it is a fucking mess.
You just shove stuff in there. I'm like that with everything. As long as things are away, I don't care what they look like behind closed doors.
Yeah.
As long as they're behind closed doors. Now,
yeah.
That aside, I looked around, I saw your suitcase, and I was like, oh, it's pretty tidy in here. My room is the same, where it's just like, I literally have things, I have like my exercise clothes hanging over the television.
Yeah. No, that's,
When I first started doing conventions, I was very excited about having a space alone, because I had just had a child, and our house was a disaster, and I didn't have any space to myself. And so I was always very excited about coming into a hotel room. No matter how terrifying the hotel room was, I was excited to just have my own space. So I'd set it up like it was my own little apartment.
Yes. No, you'd have candles. I'd have candles.
I still do the candle stuff, but I just don't get that into it. At baths, face masks. I still do that stuff sometimes. But lately, I am the same. Like I unpacked today or this trip because I've been in New York for a few days. Yeah. So I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I just unpacked what I needed for the weekend instead of my whole suitcase. But lately I can't give two fucking shits. Not two of them.
I don't know if it's technically object impermanence, but there is a thing that people who have brains somewhat like mine have where if an object isn't visible, it's hard for me to remember it exists. So at home, because I have controlling issues, I need my spaces to be clean because inevitably I look at, this is actually turning into a topic for a podcast after all.
Huh. Yay.
At home, I look at something that needs to be put away or needs to be clean or needs to be done, and I feel anxiety and frustration. And so I like shit to be put away so I don't look at it and need it. Here, if I can't see it, I don't remember I've packed it. So I just need everything out
so
where I can
unpack. So you don't put things away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like shit doesn't stay in my, it's just scattered everywhere.
I get it.
So that I remember I have it. Even though I know I packed it, my brain doesn't register as it actually existing.
Yeah. Especially if you over like, I used to plan my outfits.
Yeah.
Only pack exactly what I was going to wear. Now I just shove things in a suitcase and hope that it works out for the best.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then I just throw it in a suitcase.
I still have to try it on because how things work in my head and how things work on my body are so different.
And also, as I've noticed the past few weekends when I do what I do, which is the things I wear these days is very billowy because I don't want. I've worn tight jeans a couple times and it's so uncomfortable. However, tight jeans look good in photos. Billowy shirts do not.
I don't care anymore.
I care if I let myself care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fair. Yep.
But yeah, when it comes to, I'm the same way with my house. I like everything to be put in its place. Jose, however, likes everything. He likes to leave things out in order for him to remember to then put it away or to remember to then take it to the library or go to the recycling depot. He likes to put things out for
reminders.
Yeah. And it makes me fucking insane. And he knows that. So he works really hard to not do that.
That is, I too do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, my problem is that I won't always remember what the reminder was for. So then it will just sit there. I'll be like, that's that thing I put down. Oh, well.
There now. Better put something on top of it.
100%.
Suddenly it's a fucking pile.
I'm like, I need my house neat, and yet I am innately a messy, messy person.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's that about that. How are you otherwise?
At the moment, I have a headache, and I'm very tired. 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Could not sleep because I'm sure, as will become evident at some point during this recording, I am not in the quietest of hotel rooms.
No, there's nothing we can do.
I was like, oh, it's so kind of them to set up a simulation of living in California earthquake country so that I feel at home here in New Jersey.
I wonder if, because my room is the same noise, but I don't experience earthquakes in Vancouver the way you experience them in California. So your body might be just nervous.
There, and like, so, did you hear that?
I heard it, but I didn't feel it.
Yeah, there's like an echo. An earthquake has like a subterranean echo.
I live below people at home, and so I'm quite used to extraneous noise that is quite loud.
Ugh.
Like when they drop something upstairs, it feels like the house is about to explode. It's like, you think it's going to go just crack
open.
Oh,
my God.
It's so noisy.
My daughter would not survive in that environment.
No.
No, we don't have a particularly, not that kind of noise. Like a truck will go past. We're on the third floor of an apartment. So a truck will go, but right on a busy, busy street. So a truck will go past.
You're
and
the
there's
top
a second
floor.
Like,
yeah.
All right, is this an earthquake or was that a truck? It was a truck.
Mm.
And then every once in a while, it's like, is this an earthquake or is it, no, that's. Oh, fuck, it's an earthquake. And then usually by the time I get around to saying, oh, fuck, it's an earthquake, it has stopped. And then if it hasn't, when I'm like, oh, fuck, it's an earthquake. Well, I just said that and it's still not stopped. Oh, fuck,
so
now I got to
do
something. Yeah.
Yeah. So noisy hotel room.
Not sleeping much.
We just finished.
Not sleeping much.
It's Saturday afternoon, which means Kim and I are done our, like, official parts.
Yeah.
And now we get to rest before we go and sing.
Play with the band.
And we've come to the room to record this inaugural post-pandemic
podcast.
I've had some snacks. I've had these sea crunchy seaweed snacks with sea salt and sesame oil, which is just...
Oh, that's a lot of SSS.
Yeah.
Sea crunchy seaweed snacks
with sea salt and sesame
oil. Wow.
Aye, aye.
That's going to be famous at some point.
So I just spent 3 days in New York City before I came to New Jersey for, you'll love this as well. Hold on. Terrific as a snack. Great with a salad. Serve with soup.
Serve with soup. Wow.
Enjoy with light beer.
Wait a minute.
It would actually be delicious with beer, but it's a curious thing to put on a bag.
With light beer. Light beer? Very specific light beer.
Maybe it's because it's supposed to be a healthy snack.
What? Don't fucking tell me what kind of beer to drink with my seaweed.
I'm going to drink a heavy goddamn beer with my seaweed.
I will have a
But maybe it's a traditional thing. I don't know. So I went to... What I usually do when I go to conventions is I bring food. Usually just breakfast and then I'll order in or whatever for my other meals, or we'll get catering at the convention. I don't like being hungry in the mornings is my point.
Yeah.
And so, but I was just spent a few days in New York. So I went to Zabar's, which is my favorite deli on the Upper West Side, and got a bunch of groceries. And then I got to the hotel and there's no fridge at these hotel rooms. I asked for a fridge and they said, no, sorry, we don't do that. So I ate all the cottage cheese and yogurt that I had bought.
Yeah.
It was not a lot, but it was like, you know, 4 little containers, a lot of protein for one evening. And then I got these snacks and fruit.
Seaweed.
Seaweed. Crunchy.
Scrumptious.
Salty.
Crunchy.
Sesame.
Succulent.
Seaweed.
Sexy. Sanguine.
Sexy seaweed.
Salacious.
Sexy seaweed here. Anyway, that's the story about that. I had a Dr. Pepper, and then I'm probably going to eat some of Kim's cookie over there that's on the
table. Yeah, you are. Oh, my God. I'm just going to yawn. I'm so sorry.
No, we love you. We're not yawning at you. We're yawning with you.
No, we love you so much that we would both be asleep right now.
That's
very
true.
If it weren't for the fact that we're bringing the podcast back, and I'm sure all of our listeners are ecstatic because this is... Oh, look, we're going on 13 minutes of having not said so far.
Having had nothing to say. There are zero whispers of wisdom coming into your ears right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just ask you questions then.
You can ask me questions. Absolutely. Yes.
What made you want to go back to recording the podcast?
You.
That's it?
Jesus Christ.
Why? You can just fucking call me on the phone and talk like this.
No, because you wanted to go back to recording the podcast.
Oh, I
yeah, because you were like,
you.
All right, I think we should do this. And I was like, you made very salient points.
Yes.
You said that it's important to stay in contact with people as us and not allow our characters to be the like stay out and creating. There we go.
Yeah.
Stay present, yeah, and creating and viable
active.
And active, yeah, in our own presence and our own connection with people who rely on,
yeah,
that presence, or even who people who enjoy that presence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what. And I agreed with those points. Those were points you made. My point, my counter argument,
yes,
was, nah, I'm tired and it's hard.
And so I encourage you by going, listen, we'll do an hour. We'll sit on our butts. You'll have a minor existential experience learning how to use the equipment.
Trying to remember how the fuck to make the blippy blippies blip.
Yeah. So really we wanted what we there's so many things we love about the podcast. And there's lots of reasons, to be honest, to not do the podcast.
Yeah, but what are your reasons? Tell me.
The podcast?
Yes. Why? What made
you
want to come back?
I mean, all the things that I told you and sold to you. But I am an entertainer. But more than an entertainer, something I've realized about myself is that I am a true creative. In that it brings me more joy to create something than to seek reward for a thing. The creation of the thing is more fun than being rewarded for the thing.
Hmm. Okay.
Which is surprising,
yep,
because,
yep,
I am a Capricorn. I like money. I like to build things.
Wait.
I'm not a Capricorn. I'm a Capricorn moon.
Yeah. I was like, what?
I am a double Cancer, and the ruling, yes, planet is the moon. So I consider myself equal parts of both.
Okay.
I love business. I love power. I love money. I love all these things that as a feminine, we've been taught is terrible for us to like. But I really enjoy the creative process of a thing. And I always get sad when a thing is done. Always, always, always. I love creating a thing, whether it be a character, a play, a show, a podcast, an album, a tour, any of these things mm-hmm. that I've done in the past, I love doing. There's always a part of me that's like, I'm fucking tired. I just want this to be done. Always, always, always. But in the actual, that's more as in, I get tired when I've been doing the same thing over and over and over yeah. again. Then I get tired of it, as anybody does. But when I'm actually creating the thing, like rehearsing a play is kind of my favorite. Teching a play is really my favorite. So I really missed having a creative thing to work on. And I've worked on a couple other creative things, you know, over the past couple years. But they're the same thing. You create them and then they get done. What I love about the podcast is it's so autonomous to us. Mm-hmm. We're totally sovereign in this creation. And we get to say when it stops and when it goes. Now, I was always respectful of you for a long time. We're like, I'm not ready. I can't do it. I don't have capacity to it. And the chances are good, I probably didn't have the capacity either, but I was just feeling that need for creation. So I created elsewhere.
Yeah.
And well, then when the time for it to for comeback was ready, we were ready.
I think this is an interesting insight because I am recently uncovering layers upon layers yes. upon how my brain works. And I don't crave creativity. Mm-hmm. I crave connection. Mm-hmm. And that is actually one of my neurological strengths is empathetic connection.
Yes.
And I do that through storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like storytelling is my chosen medium. It's my venue. So I think that's why we do the same thing, but we complement each other while we're doing yeah. it. Because I honestly, like the making of the thing is a just an unfortunate necessity of uh-huh. wanting, like if I could just sit around and feel at people all the time yeah. and like have them feel back at me and then not feel obligated to do anything with that other than elevate the vibration of the feels, I'd write poetry about it.
It's so funny because that feels really hard to me.
But that's why yeah. we make such a good team because yeah. the creating is hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, the thing, I had it like seriously, my friends out there, you should have seen the floppy, nearly crying meltdown I had when I couldn't make the blippy blippies. I was like, I get it. And Brandon was like, do you want to wait? I'm like, no, I'm going to get it.
I was just eating my chips, my snaps, my seaweed snaps.
You knew,
snaps.
You were like, let me know if I can help. And otherwise, I'm just going to sit over here.
No, it's no bother of me.
Quit.
That's the great thing about knowing somebody so well is that never in a moment was I uncomfortable with your discomfort. No. I was like, oh, she'll get through it.
Yeah.
She'll figure it out. Oh, she got Travis.
Look at her.
And worst case scenario is that we don't record it. That's the worst case scenario. Yeah. And that's not such a
And yet deal. My body was telling me worst case scenario was that I would have to actually jump off of my balcony. That's what my body tells me. Like when I'm in deregulated panic, I'm like, what? And now I have to die, well, obviously.
This is the next obvious choice. So here we go. Oh, Lord.
But that is an interesting, like, oh, that's a reason that we make such a good partnership, working partnership mm-hmm. is that the actual Capricorn plotting, stepping up. And that's funny because my boss at the barn, I love calling her my boss. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, you're my boss. My boss at the barn is a Capricorn. And we work so well together because I come in with all the feels and ideas and the Mercury communication. And she's like, great. And next thing I know, I'm like, I have 5 spreadsheets I am now supposed to know what to do with because a bunch of shit just happened.
That's right.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Like she's not an idea person, but she's like an executor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And she's a really good idea person too. But she's like, I just need to bounce things off of you because I'm not sure. And I think I would make a good producer. I would not make a good director. Mm. I have a hard time writing because I can't start the story.
Yeah.
But once something's in front of me, I can be like, here's loose ends. Here's a stronger connection.
Yeah, you're
here's
great
where
at that.
This is where this needs to be. And this doesn't make sense. And let's put, and like, because I'm all emotional empathy.
Yeah.
And so when something doesn't ring true, I'm like, that's just a cerebral idea you have for a story. Let's actually make it a thing. But I can't, like, if you look at me and go, right, that was part of
oh, for sure.
The whole process that I just went through was part of it was tell a story. And mm-hmm. we went back and visited it. And I was like, ah, the story, it was very little. She goes, yeah, it actually wasn't a story at all. I was like, what? She goes, it didn't really have a beginning, middle, and an end. Like, oh, I guess.
It was all just feelings.
Yeah, it was all just like, and
this, character development.
Yeah, it was all character development.
Oh, it takes all kinds, right?
No goals in life. Good. Just have feels. So we're back, and you will notice that we've gone on 20 minutes without answering the question about what we learned during COVID.
Mm-hmm. I think that's because, A, it's just a little on the nose for the first one back.
Nah.
Let's save it for when, for 10 years from now.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it will become evident mm-hmm. as we move along. Like, there are things that I have uncovered about myself, Brianna has uncovered about herself, mm-hmm. that we are not the same people we were when we stopped recording.
And I think it would be betray those discoveries to wrap them up in a neat little 30-minute podcast.
To be like, in 2 years, I discovered this. Like, no, I'm...
Yeah.
And I think everyone is different than they were 2 years ago.
I should hope
whether or not you were stuck at home alone with a teenager.
Oh, God, I can't believe she's a teenager.
I have a teenager, man.
Do you know what? My daughter is the same age your daughter was when we met.
When we met.
Almost. So I think your daughter was 7 when we met.
Yeah.
And Valentina's 8. She just turned 8. Isn't that fucking weird?
Wow.
And Valentina was 5 months when we met.
An infant.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's so cool. And now she's going to, and now I have to divorce my husband so I can marry him again and she can DJ our wedding.
That's right. Now she's going to be a DJ.
I love that for her.
Yeah. Did you see that video I posted?
Yes.
On my Instagram. I posted a video. She just decided, she's just always been into house music and we really like to put her in things that are a little outside the box. I think DJing is probably the only really outside the box thing. She voices a cartoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And called, I guess I can't say. I can't say. I don't want to get in trouble. And she is in competitive hip hop. She has a hip hop competition.
Hell yeah. I do. What do? I do competitive hip hop.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you do. Get it.
It's so cute. Anyway, all of these things she does. And it's been really fun to watch her grow, especially over the last couple years as she gets older. It's fun to watch kids become little people.
Yeah. Tabby has learned. Tabby's favorite thing is making people laugh. However, it's her best friend that she kind of takes all of her laughing cues from. And her best friend thinks it's funny to, like, you know, when Tabby slaps her ass and goes, what the fucking fuck? Ah,
she's like me.
That's
slays. It's just like me.
And I'm like, that doesn't make me laugh. So Tabby has recently really honed in on what makes me laugh.
Oh.
And so now she honestly surprised her sense of, and I always was kind of like, am I going to have a kid that always is like, what the fucking fuck? Wah! I'm going to have to go, ha, because she wants me to laugh. I won't. I refuse to placate you. You earn my laughter. And she has figured out how to make me laugh.
What is that?
And it's, well, there's many. So there, okay. In the 90s, this is a long story. I'm sorry. The background of this is very podcasty. In the 90s, there was a series of commercials for Quiznos Subways. And it was the Sponge Monkeys. Look it up. I've put it on my Facebook before.
All right.
Yeah. Nope. And it was really poor singing. Hold on a second. Here, please vamp. I'm going to find it on the
Doo. Oh, vamp. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That works.
I went straight to elevator music.
That's great. Okay. So here. Okay. This is them. I'm going to play it for Brianna, but you will probably hear this. Right there. All right. Okay.
This was an actual commercial?
This was a whole series.
On television?
On television. imagine. And I made my daughter watch this because I fucking think this is the funniest fucking shit ever.
It is. I feel like you've shown me that before.
And she will occasionally, out of the blue, just walk up to me and go, "We got a pepper bar."
That's good. That's comedy. That's comedy.
Stand it. And wow. So now instead, one of them is about the thing is we don't eat them raw because eating raw subs is barbaric. And the catch line is, "We are not the Huns." So now she doesn't like it when I say I love you, but she does like it when I say we are not the Huns. So aww, we are not the Huns is code for
I love you.
For I love you.
Oh, I love code.
We are not the Huns.
We are not the Huns. Oh, bless.
Yeah. So I have a teenager, but she's a pretty kick-ass little person.
Yeah, man.
Isn't it fun to like our kids?
Oh, it's the best. To think they're funny and kind and interesting.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Are we, like, where are we at? Oh, we're at, like, 28 minutes. I don't think we have a lot to cut out.
No, we just need to wind it, have a better wind up.
Yeah.
Something to lead us to a...
Yeah. How the fuck did we do our intros? Sometimes.
Yeah.
With da-da-da. Oh, okay, that's good. Spoiler alert, if you're at the end of the podcast, we do our intros. Have we never told them this? I can tell them this, right? Sure. We do our intros after we record the podcast.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you think your podcast is going to be about something, and it turns out to be about something completely else. That's not sometimes you think your podcast is going to be about something, but it turns out, ooh, that's the second part
but
of it, isn't
it?
But it turns out it's about something completely different. This is the Wayward Podcast. Yeah, we do that shit after we talk to each other because, as I just mentioned, sometimes you think your podcast is going to be about something and it turns out to be something else. They're good cookies, right?
I made a cookie with Wayward AF on it.
That's edible. We got it at here.
It has edibles in it?
No. Oh, God. That's every once in a while someone gives us packages of goodies. And they are labeled Kim and Brie. And the last time this happened, I took Brianna's package by accident and Brianna took mine. And we thought nothing of it until I started eating them. I was like, oh, fuck. Did they give... They wouldn't have made Brianna... No. Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. All right.
We don't really have a tidy wrap-up.
No, we don't.
Kim and I, this is kind of just like our... This is our public dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
We wanted to come back on and make sure we still knew how to do this. Make sure you guys were listening. And let's just have this be a great example of going, hey, sometimes doing things before you're ready is the best way to do things.
And you know what? If nothing else, I think you and I will toot our horn for just a moment, are really great examples of just fucking showing up where we're at.
Yes.
And using a preposition at the end of a statement.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Okay, I love you.
I love you.